Learn to Fly. You've seen the sign on the airport fence. Now read the ebook and pass it on to friends. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Max Trescott, who is the 2008 National CFI of the Year. He's a NAFI Master CFI who instructs at San Jose Flight Training and has various internet enterprises going, all aimed at kind of getting us to be more safe. And now he has an ebook titled Learn to Fly, which I have to think must have been inspired by the sign on the airport fence, but it's exactly what it says it is, and it's very good. Max, thanks for taking some time out to talk to our listeners today.
Paul, thank you for calling me. I always have so much fun with our conversations. It's a treat and privilege for me.
All right, let's get into why you did an ebook to begin with, before we get into what's in it and how good it is.
Sure. As opposed to doing something printed or published or something like that. I've spent about 25 years working in high technology and live here in Silicon Valley, so I'm constantly surrounded by, you know, one of the latest, most interesting trends going on the internet and things like that. And certainly ebooks have emerged in the last couple of years as a new tool for marketing in any type of service. And it just strikes me that if we're going to continue to grow the pilot population the way we need to keep this industry healthy, we need to be using every possible tool and technique out there, particularly to reach the newer, younger generation. So to me, an ebook just seemed like a perfect way to go ahead and put the resources in people's hands that they need to go out there to figure out how to become a pilot.
Well, this is a 37-page PDF file. It's not real big. You could conceivably even attach it to an email and send it to somebody who you knew might be interested.
Exactly right, by the way. It's only 2 megabytes, so it should go through any email server.
I went through it. I kind of skimmed it. I haven't read it in depth yet, but I wanted to talk to you about it because I already found some interesting things in here. You approach this a little bit differently from some of the other materials I've seen in that you, how should I put this delicately? You don't sugarcoat some aspects of learning to fly that I've seen kind of glossed over elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Do you think this honest approach is maybe overly honest?
You know what? I guess my philosophy in general is to be, you know, direct and open and honest about just about everything. To me, that just saves a lot of time and becomes an effective way to, you know, to deal with people and issues in life. I can tell you that I did do a survey that went out to a couple hundred people who had started flight training in a local flight school, some of who finished and some who didn't. And one of the things that came back was people said that the training was either unstructured or that their training path wasn't clear, understandable, and consistent. And I think there are people who get into learning to fly who just have no idea what they're getting into.
Yeah.
I'd like to make sure that people, come into it with their eyes open. You know, they deserve that knowledge before they get started.
Now, you go through a number of different chapters here. One is why learn to fly, and I think for many of us, we looked for excuses to justify it long after we knew we wanted to do it.
Sure.
Are there really adults out there, or even young people who are picking a career, who have to be talked into this? I mean, do we need to recruit from among people who haven't always had this fascination with just the thrill of flying?
Oh, I think so. I'm sure that you and I probably came from the same, background, which was why fly? Duh. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Because I want to. And that's motivation enough for us. I think, folks sometimes have to justify flying to other family members, to themselves. And sometimes they need just that extra little push to go, I've always thought about it, but yeah, why don't I do it?
Well, now let's get into some specifics here. You actually advise people who ask the question, can I make money? Can I make a living with my pilot certificate? You say probably. Is that too strong, or do you really believe that?
Well, I didn't say how much money they can make. No, I mean, there's certainly a lot of ways to make money in aviation. Not all of them, by the way, as being a pilot. So, sure, I think that anybody who looks at it creatively and who is really, willing to do whatever it takes and make the sacrifices can find a way to make some money within aviation. I guess the question, is it enough, for them, and are they willing to make the sacrifices necessary to get there? So, yeah, I think anybody who puts their mind to it can make a living.
I hear from flight instructors who are recruiting among people of means. Let's just put it that way.
Sure. And I think that's important, by the way, because, why recruit people who don't have the means to fly? That's just frustrating for everyone.
I agree. However, it does get you into what used to be called doctor effect, where you may have people biting off more than they can chew because they can afford to. And you talk specifically about some of the high-performance aircraft that are available in the context of maybe buying your own aircraft and learning to fly in it. Does that have any particular potholes we might be needing to watch out for, or does that really actually work out pretty well?
Let me just take one step backward, because I don't mean to have left an impression there that maybe I did. For example, I do have a section here that says, what if I cannot afford it? And there we talk about books that you can find that list the scholarships, ways that you can minimize the cost of training. So basically what I tell folks is, regardless of your situation, don't give up on your dream of flying, that if you want to make it happen, you'll find a way to do it. So that's not to discourage people in any way. But I think that it does make sense for us to, as we're recruiting people and encouraging them to fly, you want to think about people who have the means to pay for the flight training, or at least have the drive and the creativity to find out, to find ways to pay for the flight training. Back to your question, I think you're asking are recruiting people who have more money than brains. Well, fortunately, what I've discovered is that most of the people, who have money usually have a fair number of brains to go with it as well. So it's pretty rare, I think, that we run into individuals who, come to flying and really don't have the capabilities to be a pilot. Sure, there's a small percentage to whom that applies, but I don't think that's the rule.
Well, I don't think it's so much a matter, and I've heard that expression, more money than brains, before. I don't really think that's the issue in some of the undesirable outcomes I've read about. It seemed to be more a case of certain personality types who find it difficult to have the discipline in the risk management area, just because the very personality traits that led them to be successful give them a sense of confidence.
It's funny you should mention that, because I was flying with a CEO literally just a few days ago, and I actually said to him, you've got to remember that those same skills and capabilities that are making you successful in your job could lead to trouble when you're flying. So you need to understand what the limitations are, and you need to fly within those limitations and not just use your force of will to, make the flight happen. Because you're right. If people don't recognize the differences, they could use the skills that made them successful in one part of their life to get them in deep trouble when they're flying.
Talking with 2008 CFI of the Year, Max Trescott, and we're going to be back in a moment. Max, I'm going to want to talk to you a little bit about choosing an instructor. You had some tips there, and I have a few questions. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Max Trescott, 2008 National CFI of the Year. We're talking about Max's ebook called Learn to Fly, which is available as a 2 megabyte PDF file from Max's website at maxtrescott.com. And it's a great thing to attach to an email and forward to someone who you think might have an interest in learning to fly. It does a very good job. Max, you talk about how do I choose an instructor, and you alluded a few moments ago to some people who had dropped out of flight training and were surveyed to find out the reason why. There's kind of a debate that I think doesn't happen enough in general aviation. We all, talk about the declining number of general aviation pilots, how we need to get that number headed back upward again if we're to have a robust market segment in every way. And Bob Miller mentioned something that I haven't really heard anybody else talk about. All the focus, whether it's Young Eagles or any of the other programs run by the general aviation advocacy groups, tend to focus on getting more people into the in box. Unfortunately, we leak a lot of people through holes in the bucket before we ever get to the destination. I wonder if it would not be more effective to minimize the dropout rate rather than just get more people coming into the process to begin with. Am I making sense here?
You make a lot of sense. I think most people would agree that fully 50% of the people who start flight training never complete it, which is really unfortunate because those people have spent a lot of time and energy and effort and probably don't feel real good about the fact that they didn't complete it. In the survey that I did recently, a couple hundred surveys mailed out to people from a local flying club, I looked at people who completed flight training.
Well, if you picked the wrong instructor, it could be
flight
training.
Well, it's kind of funny because some of the people who didn't complete, a couple of them actually said, yeah, flying does scare me.
And so maybe
they actually shouldn't have completed it. But there were differences. People who completed it mentioned that their instructors they thought were more personable, well-prepared, and those who didn't complete were more likely to rate their instructor as being dull or less prepared. So instructor issues actually came up as one of the major differentiators between those who complete flight training and those who don't. And actually what's interesting is both categories reported issues with instructors. So I think the big issue becomes, you know, what are your strategies for dealing with issues when they come up?
You know, I had to go through this process a few years ago. It hasn't been that long since I learned to fly. I started taking training in 2001, got my private certificate in 2003. And I interviewed five different flight instructors, and I wasn't really looking so much for how well do you fly, but how well do you teach? Because I had talked to other students who had gotten to a situation where they felt they were stuck on some point, and their instructor didn't seem to have the wherewithal to develop an effective strategy to get them past that hurdle.
Right.
This seems like a very difficult thing to do for someone who comes in knowing nothing about flying.
Well, I think you actually take an attack that most people don't, which is to interview instructors and to pick and choose. I'm really shocked, actually, at the number of people who will go to a flight school and just talk to the first flight instructor and boom, you know, take them on as an instructor. So I think it does make sense to interview them and to try and figure out who's going to work best for you. And certainly one of the key characteristics you want to look for in an instructor is somebody who can explain things in multiple different ways. So if you're not getting it one way, then they can try and explain it to you in another way.
Well, and I guess if you have the luxury of knowing some of the students, you know, if you hang around the airport enough to know some students who have been through the process with that instructor, you might even look for people with, you know, widely varying personality types, or if you can find evidence that they might have different learning modalities, find out if they all got to that point and were helped through it.
And I think that's one of the best questions an instructor can ask when they first start working with a new client is, how do you learn best? Are you more of an auditory person? Are you more of a visual person? Are you more of a kinesthetic person who learns through hands-on, if you will? And when you understand that, then you can tailor your teaching to help those people learn as most effectively as possible.
All right. Now, in choosing an effective instructor, this has been one of the tough things about learning to fly for many years. I mean, this predates my involvement in aviation by decades at least, and that is very few people become flight instructors because they like to teach. Most of them become flight instructors to build hours, and therefore you're almost guaranteed to be dealing with someone inexperienced. Is there anything we can do to try to locate those people who maybe are at the end of an airline career rather than the beginning of a wannabe airline career?
Sure, there's no question that folks who have looked at flying as the thing that they're doing for fun as opposed to because they have to, you know, those people are going to be a lot more fun to fly with and to learn from. So, yeah, I think, and by the way, I also think that there are a lot of great young flight instructors out there who may indeed be looking for an airline career who do a great job of teaching. So that's not to diss them and say, you never should use one of those people. I think what you're really looking for is somebody who's enthusiastic, creative, intelligent, and really is very professional in the approach to which they take things. Can you find that all out through an interview? Perhaps not. But certainly you want to look for people who are professional in all the things that they do.
Are there any resources available online or through the FAA or in other areas where we should go if we're a beginning student to check out an instructor? Because obviously there's some things that would be awkward to discuss, the first time you meet someone, or that they frankly wouldn't tell you.
That's a really good question. I think probably one of the best things you can do is just talk to other pilots in your area. anybody you know who is out there actively flying and ask them, you know, hey, who do you recommend? The word of mouth, frankly, is a very, very powerful tool in our society. People use it all the time for selecting things. And I think they ought to do that when selecting an instructor as well.
All right. You specifically mentioned on page 24 of the book two qualifications to consider. One is a NAFI master instructor. What is it about a NAFI master instructor that will make an instructor a better choice?
Well, certainly, if you happen to have a master in your area and you're able to fly with him, you know that you've got someone who's really going, I would say, the extra mile. Not to say that there are folks who aren't masters who aren't extremely professional as well. But this, I think, does in some ways provide some kind of sorting function for you. Anybody who's gone through the time and effort to get designated as a master clearly is investing a lot of time and energy in their profession, not just teaching, but in terms of you know, doing other kinds of activities, either volunteering, giving seminars, creating media, those kinds of things. And so you're looking at someone who's very deeply and actively involved in aviation. And, you know, that's a good thing, I think.
All right. Now, the other qualification you specifically mentioned is the FAA Gold Seal instructor. Mm-hmm. How does that differ in qualifications, and what do you do to become one of those?
Sure. The FAA will offer a gold seal to anybody when they renew their CFI license, who can demonstrate or prove that they have sent at least 10 people for check rides within the prior 2 years, and at least 80% of them have passed on their first time.
All right. Now, is that something that has to be renewed every 2 years when you, I mean, will you keep that gold seal even if you go through a period of hiatus?
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction. With the gold seal, yes. Once a gold seal, always a gold seal. With the master CFI, that's actually something that has to be renewed every year with literally the same level of effort for the first time it's designated. So people don't get to be a master forever. If you stop performing at a high level, eventually you fall out of the pool.
All right. Well, listen, Max, it's only 37 pages, or at least the way it formats on my computer it is. But I got to tell you, this is a very good, in my opinion, thing to send to someone. It answers a lot of the questions that I recall being asked by friends who knew I was learning to fly. And I congratulate you on it. How is the best way for people to get it? It's available right off the main page of your website?
Oh, sure. Yeah, just go to maxtrescott.com and you'll find the lead article currently has a link to it. And what I guess I would like to have people think about is, you know, as a pilot population, unfortunately, we've been shrinking dramatically. We've lost over 25% of the pilots just since 1980. And I really think it's incumbent upon all of us as pilots to figure out how we're going to replace ourselves in the pilot population. So I'd like to challenge all of your listeners to, you know, take an active step to do that. Remember that in some ways, flying is kind of like a club. If we're not out there inviting people to join the club, they may not know that they're wanted or know how to go about becoming a pilot. So I'd like to encourage everyone to go ahead and download the ebook, email it to friends of theirs who've expressed any interest at all in learning to fly, take those people for a demo flight, then find them a flight instructor in a flight school and just encourage them through the whole process. And if everybody did that, boy, we'd have a really robust general aviation industry.
Okay, now when the ebook is no longer the lead article, will it just slowly wander down the page, or will it be prominent, a link for it prominently somewhere on the main page throughout time?
Yeah, no question. When it starts to wander down the page, I'll put another link to it either in the upper left or the upper right.
Okay. Well, Max, we really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you. You always have some, you seem very on top of flight training today, is what I would name our TV show if we were going to do one of those.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Max Trescott is our 2008 National CFI of the Year. He instructs at San Jose Flight Training. He's the proprietor of Glass Cockpit Publishing, which we didn't even talk about, but he's an expert in the Garmin G1000, and publisher of the free online safety newsletter, Pilot Safety News. Max, we'll talk to you again soon.
I'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You can find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.